This afternoon, the topic is the power of an invitation. And whether you've given it any consideration or not, you know, this means a great deal to our society, an invitation, getting invited to do something. There's something about being invited to an event that makes you feel special or accepted. You think about whenever you're in school, those of us that aren't in school anymore, you think about when you got invited to somebody's party, to their birthday party, you felt like, you know, you were friends and that you were a part of maybe that group of friends. It made you feel special. And I know I always enjoyed getting invited to parties and different things like that, and I still do. You know, it wasn't a few weeks ago, I got an invite to go try to find a deer in the midst of a rainstorm. So that was quite the invitation. Zane sent me that, and I don't know, I thought it'd be fun, and I went, and we found an arrow, and that was it. But and we got a lot of rain, but it made for good memories. We had a good time. At least I did. Maybe they didn't. But I had a good time, and I appreciated the invite. When you think about if you've ever been on a date, been asked, invited to go on a date, or if you've ever extended that invitation to someone, the feeling that you had whenever you got asked, you know, of, I'm sure whenever I asked my wife on our first date, I'm sure she was very excited. I mean, I could only imagine, but I know the anxiety that I felt asking her and whether she was going to say yes or not. So I hope that she was excited whenever I asked her. And she did say yes, thankfully. And I could tell a story about that, but I won't because I want to walk out of here today. So there's other examples we could use of invitations. We get invited to different things. But we see that giving and receiving an invitation, how powerful that is in our society, how that makes us feel. But it's this is the same thing, or the same thing is true when it comes to the Bible and learning about God. And that's what we're going to talk about this afternoon. We'll be looking at several aspects of what the Bible shows us about the power of an invitation. The first thing we're going to look at are several examples of how some came to know Jesus because of a simple invitation. Our first example is going to come from John chapter 1. Verse 35 through 42. We're going to have quite a bit of scripture here just throughout the lesson. I'm going to try to keep up with the PowerPoint. So here we are, John chapter 1, verse 35 through 42. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted as master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day. For it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak had followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Here we can certainly see the power of an invitation. And what became of it? Because Andrew took the time to invite his brother Peter to come to see Jesus. Peter ends up becoming one of his followers, which leads him to becoming one of the chosen 12 apostles of Christ. And from there, we learn that Peter becomes a reckoning force in furthering the kingdom of God. But none of this would have happened if Andrew had not taken the time to invite him to know Jesus. Again, this shows us the power of an invitation, and we never know what potential a person may have for the cause of Christ when we invite them to know Jesus. Let's continue on to verse 43 The day following Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Once again, we see a simple invitation given to Nathanael by Philip. At first, Nathanael's hesitant. I'm sure we've all seen that when we've asked some people to come join us at church, or just even to come out to eat or something. They're a bit hesitant at times. But Nathanael is hesitant because he couldn't understand how anything good could come from Nazareth. Nazareth was a city that wasn't really that important. It had a bad reputation of immortality, and so this is why Nathanael said what he did. But fortunately for him, he overcame this and came to know Jesus. What we need to learn from this is that sometimes people are going to be hesitant about being invited to know Christ, but we must be persistent and tell them how important it is to know Christ, and that they just need to see it for themselves and experience it. There's no greater invitation you can give as a Christian or accept as a non-Christian than to know Jesus, because he has the words that lead to eternal life. When you get to know Jesus and understand what he represents, it is only natural for you to want to invite others to know him as well. And we have an example of this when Jesus stops at Samaria and is waiting by Jacob's well. It's John chapter 4, verse 7 through 9. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. We have to understand, most Jews would walk around Samaria because Jews considered the people impure because they were part Jew and part Gentile. And being Jewish, talking to a woman was taboo as well. Yet we find Jesus in Samaria talking to a Samaritan woman. We'll continue to read 4:10 through 16. We're actually going to go through 30. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, lost my spot. The woman answered and said, I have no, I lost my spot again. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Now put yourself in this woman's shoes for a minute. Now imagine how awkward it would feel for a Jew to be talking to you, and then for this Jewish man to start telling you that he has a water that he can offer that causes you never to thirst again. Now while you're pondering that thought, he lets you know that you're an open book to him, and he knows about your personal life, even though you've never seen him before. Y'all have never met. So at this point, you realize there's something very special about this man. So you ask him about worship, and he tells you that true worship is going to be which is worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Then finally, he reveals to you that he is the Christ, the coming Messiah. Think about how overwhelmed you'd feel. And how overwhelming it would be to know that you were in the presence of the Son of God. You'd have forgotten all about your water pot, all about trying to get water there at the well, as she did. And we see this causes her to go and tell all the people she could about Jesus and what he had done. She was inviting people left and right to come see Jesus. We'll continue reading 39 and 40. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. So once again, we see the power of an invitation, and how this woman was able to lead many to Christ that would not have known him otherwise. This is what God's all about. This is what he wants us to do. He invites people to share in his love and to become his servant. He never tries to force anyone, because he wants you and I to choose whom we will serve, because he has given us all a free will. Just as Joshua says in chapter 24, verse 15, And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Since he has given this free will, this is why God only asks us to invite people to know the Lord, and to let them choose their own fate. This is illustrated in Luke chapter 14, verse 16 through 24. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuses. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. This is a pretty fairly easy story to understand. The supper was made and people were invited, and the first set of people rejected the invitation. They made excuses of why they couldn't come. It's important for us to realize that not everyone will accept our invitation. No matter how many times we ask them, they may still come up with excuses. And just like the people in the stories, when they don't want to say no, they will make those excuses. And this is going to happen. Like I said, I'm sure many of us have had that happen to us. But we must press on just like the man did in our story. He went back. He went back out and went to a different class of people, invited them, and they accepted. But there was still more room. So he went out and invited all to come into his feast. Of course, Jesus was showing us in this story the rejection of Jews to hear him and how that the Gentiles would be called to know him and become a child of God, and how that there is room for everyone in God's kingdom who will accept the invitation. So we must always keep this in the back of our mind. Never give up on giving out an invitation to know the Lord. If you have somebody that you've been working on and you've invited and they haven't come, keep working on it. It might work and it may not, but you've done your job. You've done what the Lord has asked you to do. When you're rejected over and over again, just invite the next person. Most likely you'll finally find someone that will accept the invitation, and who knows, they may become the next great leader for the cause of Christ. Another thing you should consider is even if you invite people all your life and no one accepts the invitation, you can feel confident that you did not fail because you've done what God has asked you to do, and you can rejoice in that. The last thing I want to look at this afternoon is there's two different ways that you can use the power of an invitation to lead people to Christ. Invite people to worship with us, which that's probably the main invitation that a lot of us give is, you know, you hear somebody talk about, I'd really like to go to church, but I just don't know where to go. And I don't really know anybody, you know, and I don't know where I want to go at. And so then you ask them and you invite them to go to church with you. And sometimes they come and sometimes they don't. But that's where we need to start. Find those people that are looking for somewhere to go, you know, people that you work with every day that maybe you have an opportunity to talk to about church and see if they're going somewhere. And even if they are, invite them to come. I saw a survey online that showed that the number one reason why people started attending the worship services was actually because of a friend or a loved one invited them. I don't remember exactly the percentage on that, but if I remember correctly, it was around 80% said that that was the reason that they started attending services. Now, each one of us comes into contact with people that nobody else knows. You know, Josh is probably going to see more people than I do. Some people that I don't see, I'm going to see some people he doesn't see. Bever's going to see people that I don't see. You know, we all see someone different every day. And we have that opportunity to extend that invitation. Now, I know that it's scary to ask people this sometimes, but we must overcome this fear and not worry about what they are going to think about us, because our invitation could be the key to their salvation. Notice what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3-8. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. Basically, Paul's teaching that as Christians, we're not to be concerned about trying to appease men or women by speaking flattery to them. Instead, we should be sharing with them the truth from God's word, but at the same time, we're not to shove it down their throats. We're to be gentle and inviting by building relationships with them, which will cause their hearts to be more open to God's word and to your invitations. You know, I've seen in the past of it's easier to invite someone that maybe an acquaintance and just say, hey, you know, we have church at 10:30 and 2:30 on Sundays. You know, would you like to come? You don't know them that well, so you're probably not going to have to see them again. So it's not going to, you know, you don't really, I guess it doesn't affect you. You're not going to have to see the person the next day. But building a relationship with them, to me, makes it harder to ask them, because you may see them every day. But if you build up that relationship and love, and them knowing that you're a Christian, and you being that Christian person in their life, that makes a big influence on them. And extending that invitation to them to come to church should be easier that way. I know, like I said, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's easier just to invite somebody that you don't know all that well. So the second thing I want to look at is invite people to our homes and to events. And this is how we gain those relationships. So we can build relationships, and we do that by inviting people into our homes, inviting them to events where we can get to know them better and open up opportunities to have a Bible study. This also could include accepting an invitation to other people's homes. Again, don't waste any opportunities of inviting people to know the Lord. You know, you get invited to go out to eat with someone. That could be your opportunity to sit down and discuss the Lord with them. And it doesn't have to be a long conversation and go in depth with it. It could just be as simple as, well, hey, are you attending church somewhere? Are you attending services somewhere? And them say no. And, well, would you like to come to church with us this Sunday? And, you know, I'll come pick you up, or whatever it is that you may need to be. And that could be the only conversation that you have, but you've still at least planted that seed. You've given that invitation. In conclusion, we have learned just how powerful an invitation can be. We saw how Peter was invited by his brother to know Jesus, and how Philip invited Nathanael to know Jesus, and we saw the results from this. And we looked at several other examples that showed how much a difference an invitation made in people's lives, and we can harness that same power today by inviting people to know Jesus and allowing them to choose whom they will serve. So don't ever forget the power of an invitation. And as always, at the end of every lesson, I want to offer you an invitation, and that invitation is from the Lord. You see this in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus wants to know you. He wants you to know him, and he wants to be part of your life. He has an open invitation, and he's waiting with arms wide open for you to accept his invitation.